Welcome and good morning.
Morning. Morning.
A little fall weather, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the seasons change, don't they? And we'll thank the Lord for that. I thank you for the birthday wishes, the cards that you sent, and the texts and all. You know how to make a young man feel good. Okay, so let's look at a few announcements. You see them listed on Mondays, 9 to 12, Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project. Quilts to support our veterans. Thursday the 31st at 10 a.m. Thursday will be Bible study. Stew Fellowship's coming up on Saturday the 2nd. Shrimp, stew, clam chowder, chicken, pastry, beverages. And you can just bring a dessert, bring a friend or two or three, and come out to the Stew Fest. Deacons will meet on the 6th, Wednesday at 6:30. Packing food bags at Deep Run First Baptist on the 12th at 10, Tuesday. If you would like to help, Johnny can get you right in the right place. October served 59 families. November the 16th, that's on a Saturday at 5 p.m., Eagle Scout fundraiser meal for Brendan Gray. Another good-looking menu, hamburger, steak, mashed potatoes, string beans, or beans and rolls, dessert, and a beverage. Eat in or take out. You can't beat that. And the 17th, we've got a lot of eating going on. On Sunday the 12th p.m., you know we got to do that, right? Cover dish meal to honor the pastor and his family. Everybody's invited. And then, guess what's coming up? Christmas parade. Y'all know Christmas is about here. You better get your shopping list and get on it, or it'll be gone before we know it. All right, November the 30th, 4 p.m., Deep Run Christmas Parade. And then on the 14th of December, 11 a.m., the Bill Gray Cook-Off. And they'll have a barbecue for sale there. Friday, December the 20th, Luminaries, if you would like to purchase one of those, see Joe Ellen. And if you want to sponsor someone for the Bill Gray Memorial Cook-Off, see Joe Ellen. If you need to use the facility, see Donna. Phone number's listed. Any other announcements?
Yes.
All right, come on.
I'm found these keys this morning in my bag and my Bible. I do not recognize them. I am so relieved. Listen, they could have been mine. I just didn't remember it, but I was so glad that they're not.
Seek and ye shall find, huh? All right, anyone else? All right, let's prepare for worship. Call to worship reading, responsive reading. we prepare to worship the name above all names, Christ Jesus our Lord. Come and worship Christ, the firstborn of creation, the eternal God,
the one through whom all things were created,
and in whom all things are held together.
This is our God. Let us worship together.
Father, it's awesome to be here today and worship you. We thank you for your presence. We feel the power of your Spirit as we come and focus our attention upon you who created us all. Lord, you don't make no junk. You made us, created us. You're the glue that holds us together. And today we want to praise you for that and just worship your precious name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's remain standing and turn in our hymnals to 128. We're going to sing all three verses of I Sing the Mighty Power of God. You may be seated. Ms. Linda Fay has our scripture readings this morning.
I'll be reading today our scripture from the New International Version. In the Old Testament scripture, we'll be looking at Psalms 1. Okay, this psalm is talking about true happiness and the way of the righteous and the end of the ungodly. That's good, right?
Amen.
Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. And so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Again, the New Testament reading. In this scripture, Jesus is healing a blind man, Bartimaeus, and it's come from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 51. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a very large crowd, they were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timothy, was sitting by the roadside and he was begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as a prayer, or any names we need to mention this morning?
My mother, June Sexton, will be having surgery a week from Wednesday.
And her name?
June Sexton.
June Sexton be having an upcoming surgery. Any others?
My son, Chase.
Chase, okay. Any others?
Caroline Kennedy.
Caroline Kennedy, yes.
Miss Verna Ann.
Miss Verna Ann, all right.
Mike Snyder.
Mike Snyder, okay. Any others? Remember the prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin as you pray this week. Remember these. We've got an election coming up, and we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the whole world. And we need a God intervention. Huh? Yeah. All right, let's take action as we pray.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 686. We're going to stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 6 of O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Thank you.
Stand for doxology, please.
All right. So this morning we have a very special treat that I am very honored to have been asked to sing. Miss Donna Smith has written a song for Clint. And over the last couple of weeks we have tried to get together and I have tried to learn it. It is such a sweet song and the piano on it is absolutely beautiful. But it is my understanding that their 23rd anniversary would have been tomorrow.
Today.
It is today. It is today. She wanted it sung today. So here we go. The title of it is For Clint.
Thank you so much. Our scripture day comes from Psalm chapter 1. Miss Linda Fay read that to us this morning. So I'm not going to reread it. We'll refer to it. Psalm chapter 1. Our thought today is getting into the habit of success. No one really wants to be an utter failure, do they? It may appear that way sometimes, and I think deep down we all want to be successful. 35 years ago, Stephen Covey wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You may have read it. It became a bestseller because it presented a practical and easy way to follow a framework for developing the habit of success. This is an important lesson in the quest for success. Successful people aren't necessarily smarter than others. Some of the most unsuccessful people are highly intelligent. They're not necessarily more gifted. Because there's a lot of gifted people that have made a mess of their lives. And they're certainly not luckier. But they do tend to have certain characteristics about them, and they tend to have certain habits that fan the flame of their success. Covey says they tend to be self-starters, they tend to be goal-oriented, and they tend to have a strong sense of priorities. And they tend to make business deals with others that are mutually beneficial. And he goes on and on. In other words, his point is successful people have certain habits. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting success. But most of our problems are caused by pursuing success in the wrong way. Many times we make the mistake of thinking that success is having a lot of money, or a lot of power, or a lot of possessions, or a lot of property, or a lot of prestige. And none of these things bring the lasting contentment that people want from success. And the result is that many people spend their lives climbing the economic ladder, thinking things will make them happy, but they never really find true success. Churches even do this. And no matter what you earn or what you own or who you are, if you're miserable, you're a failure. So what is success? You know, we've been through a series of sermons talking about following Jesus. But what is success? Quickly defined, success is knowing God's will and doing it. Jesus always referred to what he did as being the Father's will, doing what his Father told him to do. So success is knowing God's will and doing it. It is discovering God's plan for your life and living it, and nothing else. Now, this could take you to Wall Street, or it could take you to Skid Row. But wherever it takes you, if you live out God's will, then you will be successful. In Psalm 1, David talks about a successful person. He says that the successful man or woman has developed certain habits in their lives, and these habits affect everything that they do. I want to look at these things. There's three here. Three characteristics of a biblically successful person. People who live out God's plan for their lives. And if you want to be successful, these are three guidelines that will get you right on the path God's way. So first of all, to be successful, don't follow the crowd. There's a narrow road, and there's a wide one. And the crowd's on the wide one, huh? You know what crowd I'm talking about. You've heard the saying, misery loves company. It's true. It's also true that sin loves company. It is a basic Bible truth that sin leads to misery. And miserable people tend to want everyone else to be miserable too. And that's not the crowd you want to be with. The successful person has learned to reject the crowd. The successful person realizes that the crowd is not always the best sorts of guidance. In other words, if everybody else is doing it, you better watch out. When it comes to matters of right and wrong, the majority doesn't always know what's right. If you want to succeed in life, you'll have to decide that. When necessary, you have to stand your ground and let the crowd pass you by. Now, in verse 1 of this psalm, it describes the successful man's attitude towards following the crowd. He says, "Blessed is the man," in verse 1, "who does not follow the advice of the wicked." Notice that. Don't follow the advice. Don't listen to what the crowd says. It is said that when Walt Disney came up with a brainstorm, he would pitch the idea to 10 different people. If they were all against it, he would immediately go to work on the project. I mean, that's the truth. He had learned that the crowd isn't always right. And a lot of people have been successful. A lot of people have achieved great things for God and the kingdom of God. This is how they've done it. They've not listened to the crowd. They're not busy doing what everybody else is saying you need to be doing to follow God. They are not listening to the crowd. They're listening to God. Because you can spin your wheels if you follow the crowd. What does the crowd say to us? If you're unhappy in your marriage, get a divorce. If somebody takes advantage of you or you're treated unfairly, the crowd says, you get even with them. If you're facing a temptation, what does the crowd say? Do what you want. Just don't get caught. If you're unhappy with the people at the church, what do? Go find you another one. Overall, the crowd's advice is you and your happiness comes first. That's what matters most. You must look out for you. Let the other guy look out for himself. If you want to succeed, you cannot listen to the crowd. Also notice he says in verse 1, he says, don't follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread. Don't do what the crowd does. When given the choice, most of us will take the path of least resistance. You ever notice that in your life? Now, I'm not talking about working harder, not smarter, right? We should do things that help us be efficient, right? A lot of times we're just lazy. I think that's what he's talking about. Just being lazy, not wanting to do it, taking the easy way out. We shouldn't put off on others what we can do ourselves. Amen? We shouldn't take the easy way out. We shouldn't take the path that the sinners tread. Our tendency by nature is to take the easy way out. The successful person, however, takes the right path, not the easy path. What did Robert Frost say? Come on, English teachers.
Two roads diverged in the old world, and I took the one less traveled by, and that's made all the difference.
Amen. Huh? That's exactly what he said. Oh, you go. I took the one less traveled, and it made all the difference. I didn't do what the crowd did. I weren't busy trying to imitate another person, or another place, or another church. I didn't do what the crowd was doing. I took that road less traveled. And it made all the difference. Don't do what the crowd does. Don't go where the crowd goes. He said in verse 1, he says, don't follow the advice of the wicked. He said, don't take the path that sinners tread. And don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Don't go where the crowd goes. Don't want to sit in their seat where they sit. Former Colorado Senator Eugene Milliken was speaking at a televised congressional hearing on taxes of nightclubs. You'll like this one. One of the clubs mentioned was the 21 Club. Milliken kept on getting the name wrong. He would call it the 22 Club, then later he would call it the 23 Club. He could never get the name right. And afterwards, one of his aides said to him, "Senator, you were on national TV and you couldn't even get straight the name of 21 Club. We've been there many times together. Why'd you keep getting the name wrong?" Senator said, "Well, in politics, you can't afford to be knowledgeable of things like that." The senator was trying to give the impression that he wasn't following that crowd, huh? That he wasn't sitting in the seat with them. There's a saying that the one who runs the fastest runs alone. The successful person many times has to run alone. They do not sit. They do not run with the crowd. Secondly, if you want to get in the habit of success, you need to get a one-track mind. Verse 2 says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Now, if you delight in the law of the Lord and you're meditating on it day and night, your mind's going to be set in one way in it. Right? Yes. Okay. All right. Winston Churchill said, "A fanatic is someone who can't change his mind and won't change the subject." In that sense, we need to be fanatics. We need to be absolutely committed to learning and knowing and living and applying the principles of the scriptures that we are meditating upon day and night. Successful people have a one-track mind, and whatever your mind is set on, that will be the direction that you travel. Successful people know that the difference between right and wrong, they know that. And they are committed to doing what is right. Success by deceit is not success at all. There are those who may realize short-term economic benefit through deception and dishonesty. But only those who are single-minded, those who are committed to living according to the principles of God's law, only they can expect to enjoy the peace and the contentment of biblical success. There's a story about a cigar smoker. He bought several hundred very expensive cigars, and he had them insured against fire. I'm not even finished now. And after he'd smoked them all, he filed a claim with the insurance company, pointing out that in fact the cigars had been destroyed by fire. The insurance company refused to pay, so the man took him to court. The judge ruled that because the insurance company had agreed to insure the cigars against fire, that they were legally responsible to pay the claim. They had no choice. Then when the man accepted the money, he said to the insurance agent, "You don't have no hard feelings, I hope." Representative said, "Hard feelings? No, sir, we sure do not. By the way, we brought the sheriff with us. You're under arrest for arson." The point being, you cannot defy God's law and be truly successful. When God spoke to Joshua after the death of Moses, the Lord said in Joshua 1:8, "Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. You shall make, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. How could Joshua be successful? It's when he lived by and according to the words of God's law recorded in the scriptures. So meditating on God's law, allowing it to dominate our thoughts, gives us what we need. It gives us the strength that we need to live according to the principles that God has set for us. So, you ever bought something that had an instruction manual with it? Anybody? And you took it out and threw it in the trash can, and then you tried to put it together or do whatever. And, you know, after several hours later, you were digging into trash trying to find it. A lot of people do that in life. They kind of set the Bible aside and they live it their way. And before long, they find out they need to dig it out and get it out and get to meditating on it. It was Emerson that said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. And that's why Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. He says, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And I tell you, if we did that, there would be a lot of clutter and clatter and garbage of information coming through that we would no longer have to even deal with. A successful person doesn't follow the crowd. They have a one-track mind. And the third thing is they develop weather-resistant faith. What do you mean? Verse 3 says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. The leaves are starting to hit the ground, aren't they? And they move in the direction the wind blows, don't they? And a lot of people's lives are like that. You know, the Bible doesn't really promise a soft, easy life for us. It does promise, though, that there will be times we must face the wind and the rain. The Bible tells us there'll be days of drought in our lives. The Bible tells us that we must endure the scorching heat. The Bible tells us that there will be long, lonely winters that are cold and bitter. The Bible tells us that it is a fact of life that we will go through trials and tribulations. The Bible tells us that we must endure seasons of pain as well as seasons of joy. The successful person is the one who can weather any storm that life brings. In the early 70s, the firemen of Fairfax County, Virginia, received new helmets. You know those firemen, they have these helmets they wear, right? Everybody seen those? Yeah, okay. I mean, these things look great. They were colorful. They had this high-impact plastic look to them. You could adjust the size of them. They were scuff-resistant. I mean, they were pretty. The only problem, there was one problem with the helmets. Whenever they got near heat, they melted. They were pretty, but not practical. And the issue with some believers' faith is that it cannot endure the extreme temperatures that day-to-day life puts us through at times. Sometimes life's just tough. And we need weather-resistant faith. Amen? And that kind of faith will bring us through, no matter how dark it is. At the end of World War II, the Allied forces swept through Germany, searching farms and houses for snipers. In the basement of an abandoned house on a crumbling wall, a victim of the Holocaust had scratched a Star of David, and beneath it had written these words. I believe in the sun, even when it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it is not shown. I believe in God, even when he does not speak. Church, that's fireproof faith. Some Christians believe that if you have faith, you won't have any problems. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that faith prevents bad weather. It teaches that faith protects you in the storm. There's a passage in the book of Jeremiah that's similar to the first Psalm. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah 17:8. He shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves will stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Church, God created us and saved us to bear fruit. He desires us to be planted and rooted deep in him. There's nourishment. There is what is needed during the storms of life. Put your faith in God. Be planted in him. Notice what David says in verse 6 as we end here. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. I tell you, it's good to know that God looks over us. Amen?
Amen.
And he has given us everything that we need to be successful. And we find that in him. Church, in order to be successful, you must develop weather-resistant faith. So in conclusion, the Bible offers a perspective on success different than we may be used to seeing in the movies or in the national headlines. Success is knowing God's will and doing it. Doing God's will is the result of developing, I think, these habits we've looked at here today in Psalm 1. Success comes when we refuse to follow the crowd because when we can refuse to listen to the crowd, it is then that we can hear God's voice. Success is when we cultivate a one-track mind, a mind that is focused on him and not the world. Success comes when we develop a weather-resistant faith. Church, we must commit ourselves to do God's will, God's way. For there is no other way to be successful. Who would you consider as more successful as a historical figure? Alexander the Great, who conquered the world while he was a young man? That's pretty impressive, wasn't it? Napoleon, who ruled France? Or the Apostle Paul, who died alone in prison? The answer is obvious, isn't it? Paul was successful not because he was able to accumulate power or property or wealth or prestige. Paul was successful because he lived a life shaped by the Word of God. Success comes down to knowing God's will and doing it. It means a successful person lives a life influenced by the Word and not swayed by the world. Church, by God's grace, may we all enjoy this kind of success. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word today, and the practical advice that it gives to us is straight out of your word. And we know sometimes, Lord, we can get off track. We can get busy doing the things of the world. Today, you've called us to look directly at you. and to focus ourselves and our minds upon what you've called us to do. May your Spirit give us the strength to move in your direction. To tune our ears deaf to the world. And to tune us directly into you. That we can know and do what you've called us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn to 670. We're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 3 of Make Me a Blessing.
Again, remember the announcements, many of them listed there. Does anybody have anything to say before we leave?
Special song, buddy.
All right. Enjoy your day today. And Chris, would you dismiss?
Sure. Lord, we thank you for this time in your house, studying your word. We just ask that as we prepare to dismiss, you unite us all in body, mind, and spirit. May we do the work that you have us do. May we be all that is good, all that is right, all that is truth, justice, and light. May we be all that is pure, holy, and deep. Lord, may all that is you is all that we need. Amen.
Amen. Amen.